When Prime Minister Scott Morrison made his first speech to Parliament 11 years ago, he said Australia is not a secular country. He said we have freedom of religion, but not freedom from religion. You are free to be secular, he said, but that's just one belief system among many, with no greater claim than any other. Well, the National Secular Lobby disagrees with him completely. Their co-director is Brian Morris, the founder of Plain Reason, a member of the Rationalist Society, and co-author of Sacred to Secular, Why a Corrupted Christianity Demands a Secular Solution. I spoke to him from our Adelaide studio. So, Scott Morrison says, you are free to be secular in Australia, but that's just one belief system among many. Your response?
I'd have to say that that is really something of a distortion. The comment by Scott Morrison. I mean, becoming a secular nation is not just some arbitrary belief. It's really all about inclusive democracy and inclusive democratic government. Secular countries are neutral to all beliefs, and they don't impose any religious beliefs on the general public. And probably the best example of that, of course, are the Nordic countries, Sweden, Denmark, Norway. And we have far more in common with those particular countries than we do with highly Christian countries like America. And particularly our own constitution, especially Section 116, is really quite clear. Australia is meant to be a secular democracy. And it's really very interesting that one of our ambassadors for the National Secular Lobby, Professor Luke Beck, is on your panel today. And of course, Luke, being a specialist in constitutional law, actually wrote the book, Religious Freedom and the Australian Constitution. So the alternative to all of that, the extreme opposite, of course, is theocracy. And I'm sure nobody really contemplates that.
In fact, you say Australia is becoming a soft theocracy. What do you mean by that?
Well, we do, and it's really fairly self-evident insofar as Australia is one of the most Christianised parliaments in the Western world.
What do you mean?
Well, simply because, I mean, there's a very good article in the academic journal, The Conversation, that looks at the religiosity of the federal parliament and make the point that the Australian public, and according to a range of different surveys, you know, year after year, only 12% of Australians attend church on a regular basis. But the Conversation article put the figure at something like 25% for federal MPs and senators who regularly attend the fortnightly parliamentary prayers.
But if we elect religious MPs and senators, it's democratic to have those views reflected in the outcome.
What we really see from a whole range of different legislation and some of the comments made by parliamentarians, and of course Scott Morrison himself in Parliament only a year or so ago was trumpeting that he was on a crusade to protect Christianity. And he's not the only one. I mean, it's not the sort of thing that you expect from democratic secular parliament. So we have a lot of parliamentarians that really fire up their Christian beliefs, which go far beyond those that are accepted by the Australian public.
But how exactly, again, if Australians elect Christians, then they elect Christians. And in the same-sex marriage debate, Australians wanted same-sex marriage, then in response, that parliament, with its Christians, voted to change the Marriage Act to allow same-sex marriage. Isn't that a secular democracy working?
Well, it's not really when you consider what really happened from that. The then Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, encouraged his parliamentary colleagues to pass the same-sex marriage bill based on the fact that he would then implement the Ruddock Review to look at religious freedom. So what we had out of the Ruddock Review then was 20 recommendations which went to Parliament that were then sat on for almost a year. And the upshot from all of that is that we now have the Religious Discrimination Act, which will presumably be introduced into Parliament sometime after February.
Is that a bad thing, to protect religious freedom, to protect the freedom to be religious or to be not religious, a protection that doesn't currently exist in a standalone piece of federal law?
That's the National Secular Lobbyist position. We don't think there should be any discrimination, you know, based on religious belief.
And yet, if a Religious Discrimination Act did just that, you'd still oppose it.
only because it seems that from the Ruddock recommendations that it will also codify all the exemptions for religious organisations to, in fact, discriminate against LGBTI people, against people who don't hold their same religious belief in a whole range of religious institutions, religious private schools, hospitals, welfare organisations and what have you. They have the right now to hire and fire based on what they perceive to be the position of these people in relation to their own religious dogma.
So you do believe in protecting religious freedom, but not to the extent that it trumps discrimination law or the ability to discriminate on other features of individuality.
Well, again, our position is that all these exemptions to the Sex Discrimination Act and the Anti-Discrimination Act and a whole range of other acts is that in the 21st century, it's just not on. It's unconscionable.
If you want politicians to leave their religion at home when they go to work, and I mean politicians in the broadest sense, players in the public sphere, wouldn't that in a way be like asking Martin Luther King to keep his Christianity private or Archbishop Desmond Tutu when their faith was in fact the driving force behind them changing the world for the good?
The problem here is that the Scandinavian countries don't really find they have a need to proselytise in Parliament. They managed to put aside all those religious divisions and base their Parliament on inclusive democratic government. Now, I don't see there's any reason why we can't do the same, but it's not just these evangelicals quoting ancient beliefs from the Old Testament about gays and abortion and against voluntary euthanasia. It's a way that incites a lot of bitter Christian activism. And again, I say, was very much a very hateful campaign against same-sex marriage. And we have also, anti-abortion rallies that really go on, and these people that demonstrate outside abortion clinics and what have you, really incited by a lot of the right-wing Christians in Parliament that really make their voice quite clear to whip up this sort of anger.
How do you propose that lawfully elected Pentecostal Christians be removed from the Parliament?
I think what really needs is just a broader public debate about all these religious and secular issues. It's been very, very difficult to hold a broad public debate about the relation of Christianity or any religion and Parliament. Although it's very interesting, in 2016, there was an Ipsos poll that showed that 78% of Australians wanted the full separation of church and state. And what we have to realise within that 78%, there's an awful lot of Christians who want the country to be secular. They want the religious belief to be separated from the day-to-day affairs of government. And you can't really argue with that. And I think if more people understood that we would progress much further with far less division, far less acrimony, if we could evolve fully into being a secular country, which currently we're not. As I say, we are a soft theocracy. And in the 21st century for Australia, that's really not a good thing. We need to move forward and take a leaf out of the book of Scandinavian countries.